And Israel has also banned water treatment, water filtration systems, even handheld ones, simple personal water filtration systems that, you know, Americans use when they go camping. The degradation is total, Amy. And, you know, and on top of that, they're bombed day in and out, even in Rafah. When I was there, there was not a single night that we didn't hear bombs. And at least once was close enough that the building I was in shook, and we thought our building had actually been hit, but it was the one, it was one over from where I was. And there was another moment too when a tent by a hospital where we had just been was bombed. They bombed a tent, and it actually happened to be the tent that is adjacent to the tent that Bisan Ode was in, and they were sitting eating, they were sitting on the ground eating, and shrapnel just came above their heads.
Palestinian novelist, poet, and activist Susan Abulhawa. Her debut novel, Mornings in Jenin, was translated into 32 languages. She joined us last week from Cairo, Egypt, one day after she returned from Gaza. To see parts one and two of our interview with her, go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Development and Events Committee meets on the third Monday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Tune in to Cubby Cushy, Cubby Cush, Tuesday nights on KBOO. 2 hours of global bass with an emphasis on South Asia and the South Asian diaspora, and an even more special emphasis on the Punjabi diaspora. Hosted every Tuesday, 10 to midnight, by The Incredible Kid. This ain't world music, it's birth of a new world music.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO FM. We are broadcasting Monday, the 11th of March, 2024. And I am Cecil Prescott, and I will serve as your host for this coming hour. If you are listening live, let me remind you that our phone numbers, if you would like to call, or 503-231-8187. In the meantime, settle down and listen to radio as it ought to be heard on KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO FM. And I am Cecil Prescott, and today is the 11th of March. And if you have been just sitting and listening to your favorite radio station and saying to yourself, I think I ought to become a member or increase my membership to KBOO. Now is the time, as we are in the midst of our Thrills and Frills campaign. So go to your website and click on the donate, and then you can become an active, important member of this community to make sure that good radio programming continue and the opportunity to listen and for programming continues. Thank you so much for being a part of this community and doing all that you do to maintain this community. And that, I think, is part of the question I would like to throw out today. That the question is, where do you find or build community? There are so many people, particularly coming out of the pandemic a few years ago, who realized that the community or the society or the world that they were used to had changed, and that the way we connected and interacted with one another has changed. And for all of us, I think it became a time in which we were able to say, well, who am I? More important, who is my community? Where do I find community? And in this time when there is so much made about the so-called political divide in this nation and indeed in the world, where people find their tribe, which is very different than someone else's tribe, and it becomes difficult to find community, to build community. So a question is, where do you find community and how do you build community? Those are some things I wish for you to think about, and later on, if you have thought about it and had some thoughts, please give us a call and participate as we build community here in this community, but more importantly, build community where you are. And where are you? How do you define your community? Is it a physical space? Is it a virtual space? Is it people you are connected with through your work or through family or through your neighborhood? Is it community? Is it gathering to people of like mind? And how do you ever define what a like mind is? And as you build community, how do you ensure that community is maintained and community is safe? Those are some questions that I would like to pose for you. Later on, I would like to share a comment, a segment on things that make you go, But we'll go to that a little later on. In the meantime, I want to touch upon a couple of things that have been in the headlines, locally and nationally and indeed internationally. As we, those of you who are listening live, heard Democracy Now! Here before this program, and the news about the events in this hemisphere, in Haiti and throughout Central and South America. And what it means for us as people try to find safety in community, what does that mean? It's something that people, not only in your region, are struggling with, indeed throughout the world. So where do you find or how do you build community? Well, a lot has been going on, and I want to touch upon a couple of other items that impact us locally, and you may want to expand on these topics. One is, well, a few days ago, the President of the United States gave his State of the Union speech before the a joint session of Congress, before the congressional representatives, state senate and House of Representatives. We'll talk a little bit about that. And what are some of your reflections, and was he able to build community there or not? But you are listening to KBOO. We invite you to call and talk about community. Where do you find or how do you build community? Let's hear what Janet has to say right now. Good morning, Janet. How are you this morning?
Actually, I've had a little problem with my voice the last couple of days, a little laryngitis, but I'm the same person to talk to you about living upstairs from Dave Zellinger in 68, if you remember.
Yes.
And I think I've got to weigh in a little bit because you got such a great topic. And I live kind of far rural, having moved all the way from Brooklyn up to Mount Hood for over 30 years, and then car trouble for the last few months, and then recognizing the whole important thing about grassroots and how we connect all over the world. The political system is pulling us apart and propagandizing us so that even up here, there's like the Proud Boys and then this and then that and everyone not realizing that they've been being manipulated to not connect with each other. So having not had a car for a few months, somebody messed up both my cars. I just got an amazing car like last week. You have to get rides from my neighbors and understand that community can be close in where you are. And I actually thinking about having a background, my grandparents being on the Lower East Side, being not Zionist, but humanist Jewish people, to be thinking how to be living in the Lower East Side with Italian people and every kind of thing in the United States would not be that we got to pick our side and then be at someone else to be all oppositional and divisive and so much enmity that's prevalent, to recognize that the bottom line is the grassroots of how we live our life, that we have the, I said before, categorical imperative to have a moral compass and do what's good for us is good for everyone, to be thinking about the quality of life is not how much money we have, but how we can actually be okay with our choices. And the weirdest thing that happened to me, having lost my voice, to be thinking, why did this happen? To be thinking, and I couldn't say a word, but to learn to speak from your heart, I think is how we find community. How we embrace each other with compassion and wisdom is how to find community. Not to be some kind of sellout, but thinking like Tolstoy said, your opinion is not yours, it's just whatever someone else has, and you think you'd be a people pleaser and fit into an opinion that's out there. So I've been quite isolated and introverted as a child, that when I was introduced to that Tina Turner, Herbie Hancock, how do you find community? What's the body of believers that we care about all people and partial blessings throughout the universe, that we pray to have a pure heart, a pure mind, and how you find community is by being true to yourself, being really sincere, and then calling up KBOO in the morning. Even though you're not half awake and can't talk but a frog's throat, and you'd be thinking, my neighbor would say that I ran into, that I worked with, oh, that Nami Horinga goes just like frogs croaking. And I'm thinking, when my mother died, all the frogs on the mountain were croaking in chorus. And it's a good thing. So anyhow, weighing in with our hearts is what's important. That's how we find community. And I love some of you folks at KBOO. And thanks for hanging in there and trying to keep it real.
Thank you so much, Janet, and thank you for sharing. And I even though you're probably struggling with your voice, we are so grateful for you and for reminding us a couple of things you said. I want to emphasize again: to speak from your heart, and to be true to yourself, and have that moral compass.
That's a funny thing, but Terry Tempest Williams, her mother died, like my mother died. And then she was a Mormon. She got all of these journals and they were all empty, like 13. She said, oh my goodness, I better find my own voice. And she got into the whole thing about the ecology of salt in the Salt Lake. And I think to find our own voice and to have it ring true and find another person to talk with, support and encourage each other. Appreciate you. Thank you. Have a great day.
You as well. Thank you so much. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I am Cecil Prescott, and I invite you to call and join with us, as Janet just shared, some of their thoughts on what it is that makes a community. She had some thoughts about what it was like living in her community, being without a car, and how we rely on one another. Some of the things she mentioned, some of the truths she shared, that if it speaks to you, hold on to it. She said to speak from your heart. That's so important. To speak from your center, to allow that truth to come out from you. Janet also mentioned to be true to yourself. How difficult it is for many people when there are so many forces which are trying to identify who you are or who you ought to be, how you ought to think or what you ought to say. Janet reminded us to be true to ourselves. And Janet also said, and this is a way in which to put it all together, is to have a moral compass. I think all of us, if we settle ourselves down, and maybe that's something we ought to practice either during the day or at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, to settle and to settle our thoughts and our being, and to reorient ourselves and to identify our moral compass, that which leads us and guides us. And we know that is true. Sometimes there is so much that is going on that we have to stop and settle and think. Thank you so much, Janet, for sharing this morning and reminding us of the necessity of building community where we are and the importance of what it means to build community. I mentioned before, I think Janet called about the State of the Union message and how the president was trying to speak to a nation of, you know, over 300 million people in 1 hour time about who we are, where we are as a nation, as a community, and as a what we ought to be, responsible citizens of the world. Where are we? How do we build a community? How is that possible? I want to invite you to share your thoughts about that. And again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. And we'll hear some thoughts from Edie. Good morning, Edie. And I hope you set your clock correctly.
Yeah, I did. I'm turning down the radio here so I can not mess things up. Thank you, Cecil, for this invitation. After having listened to Democracy Now!, I don't see how anybody could not identify this as a time for deep sorrow. Mm. And so maybe my... I have a routine of reading the Christian lectionary every week, and I feel like this fits in so much with what the last March 10th options were, and I'll share that much. I think that when we cry together, broken hearts begin to mend in an almost miraculous manner, and it's just, you feel so helpless with what's going on that it comes to me that maybe only the wounded can serve in love's service. Mm. And so this is where I find community in listening to programming on KABU, whether it's Prison Pipeline, whether it's all the various ethnic programming. whether it's Democracy Now. But then in my faith practices, those two seem to meld, and it helps me to better cry with my neighbors who are going through horrible things, as well as our global neighbors. So that's my little piece.
Oh, wow. I appreciate what you said, and for your invitation. I'm not sure whether it's an invitation, but it's certainly an acknowledgement to mourn, to recognize, and to mourn together.
Yeah, let's have a good cry together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It might be the only authentic thing left.
Well, you know, and I think that's such a good point, because when you just said, and it may be the only authentic thing we have left, is that so often we don't want to acknowledge that we ignore it, and just to acknowledge and to mourn together may be a way in which we acknowledge our common humanity or common creature, whatever, and then we can perhaps acknowledge that other and journey with them.
Yes. I've had people get on my case because I'm an activist and take my little sign and participate in the park, you know, rally or the street or whatever, and they say, "What do you think you're doing with your little sign at Esther Short Park?" And I go, "Well, there's this thing called solidarity." And I said, and that means something to me. And as you say, participating in our full humanity.
Yes.
And there's hope in that. It doesn't seem like a lot, but like crying together, it does seem miraculous when you can give another person that kind of a little piece of love. So I'm going to let somebody else talk.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Edie, and thank you for being there with that and building community together. Thank you.
Blessings, Cecil. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Today is Monday, the 11th of March, 2024. For those of you who are interested, I invite you to give us a call. We began our conversations this morning by talking about community, what it is, how do you build, how do you find community. Our last caller, Edie, was talking about the importance of being there with those who are grieving, mourning together. It's an acknowledgement of our common creatureliness, I guess that's the word, and sharing. And we have a couple of calls, and let's go to Santiago first, and hear what they have to say. Santiago, good morning.
Good morning. You know, when it comes to how we find community, one thing that I've really learned in these last few years is, like, you gotta find the difference between those who want to be distracted and those who want to be, like, who want to be active, you know, like, you know, I was just reading this thing that somebody sent for me the other day in a message, and it said, like, you know, how, like, liberals enjoy the theater, the jokes, the memes, and all that stuff, but it's like when you start talking about real issues, there's a propensity for liberals to get upset. And I mean, that's obviously not every liberal, but the truth of the matter is that, like, whether you're talking about liberals or conservatives on both sides, there's a constituency of people who really desire to be distracted. You know, they want to root for the blue team or the red team. You know, like, I don't get along with a lot of Trump supporters online, but my neighbors who are Trump supporters, while they have a lot of things that I genuinely do dislike, like, they actually understand that we have a lot more in common than we do different. When I talk about actual economic issues and things that are going on in the world right now, they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and it's like when you start speaking to people's real material needs rather than just kind of like wishy-washy idealism, I found a lot of community in that.
Ask you to expand a little bit about that, because I think that's an insight in terms of finding commonality. And it seems to me so easy, I forgot how you put it, in such a way to be distracted. And you, it sounds as if you're saying that sometimes we need to go deeper. And you recognize the commonality with people who you, on the surface at least, you might have thought there might be differences. But that takes a lot to go deeper, doesn't it?
Well, it does take a lot to go deeper, but, you know, we kind of have to if we really want to, like, get to the heart of things. Like, you know, there's the easy way to think about doing things where you just want to be for your team and for your team only. Mm-hmm. Or the real matter is that you can understand that, you know, no matter which team you root for, it's understanding that neither of them have done anything significant in the last, like, 40, 50 years. But when you start looking at the idea that both teams are funded by the same corporations, and you can start talking about the actual economic problems, I mean, that's just economics. But, I mean, I'm kind of like Edie said, you know, there's a general humanity that all of us experience, you know, but through trauma and what we've experienced, you know, especially in these times, like we've disconnected, you know, our mm-hmm. I look at it like, you know, like there's this thing where it talks about like people who experience trauma, there are those who try to reconnect to their humanity.
Yes.
by loving people, and then there's people who try to reconnect to their humanity by being awful to people. And it comes from a place where you it's kind of like where you want to hug other people, but you don't want anything back. You want to, there's like this almost like a overprotective kind of thing about yourself where you just don't want to, I don't know, it's kind of complicated, but the way I look at it, it's like, you know, like it's kind of like where you, I don't know, like something maybe a little more complicated, and I'll kind of leave it here, where, you know, we see that. Like with the conflict in Gaza, Palestine, you obviously have two oppressed peoples, one who is actively doing oppressor things and one who is not. But the people who are currently being oppressed by their oppressors are reconnecting through fighting back and, you know, and reaching out to the world and getting to be able to, like, appeal to the humanity of others. Whereas, like, you know, the Israeli state, while Jewish people have historically been oppressed, they're seeking to reconnect through fear. You know, they have this desire to, like, they want to be connected to something so bad that they're willing to hurt other people in order to be connected to it. And it's really complicated emotionally in that way, especially when you're dealing with a group of people versus, like, just an individual. Because as individuals, we can see a lot of the problems, but when you start getting into group think, like, you start falling apart.
Yeah,
you know?
I that's a very good point, and perhaps we can expand on this, you know, at another time, in terms of, you know, the individual as opposed to group think and the challenge there, and also the point your observation in terms of talking about those who have been oppressed and trauma and how we respond. It's very insightful. We have some other people who would like to speak as well. So I wanted to thank you, Santiago, and I appreciate your thoughts, and thank you for building community.
Hey, no problem. Thank you, Cecil.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. Today is the 11th of March, all day long. It will be the 11th of March. So if you wake up now, if you get up, it will still be the 11th all the way until 11:59 p.m. Now, is this daylight saving time or no? Yeah, we're daylight saving time. Yeah, we're daylight saving time now. Okay. You are listening to More Talk Radio, and let's go back to Janet. Janet, thank you for calling back.
I'm sorry, just briefly. I didn't hear your intro, and I'm going to make it brief. But because I'm telling you about Living Above from Dave Dellinger,
yes.
And we went to Chicago to stop the war in Vietnam, I think it's a prescient time to recognize that I don't really want to wax poetic about the bloodlust in the world. Having been a Jewish person and being anti-Zionist, not being anti-Semitic, that my connection with people, most importantly, although I love all my neighbors and I try to expand wisdom and compassion for everyone with this grassroots thing, but to weigh in as a progressive, as an activist that's going to fight injustice and to do something about this genocide that both parties are supporting, that I can't kind of go easy about POTUS, whoever, saying, oh, you know, we're going to not really get to the point where we're funding bombs and babies are getting bombed. And I'm saying, I'm going to stand with those people that are against the war like we did in the 60s and say my connection with people is rising up and to have a revolution of love, like Rabbi Werner said.
A revolution of love, like that. Thank you so much, Janet. Thank you. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and if you're listening, you are listening. But if you are listening, wow, I just had one of those thoughts. If you are listening while I am speaking at this moment, Wow. Okay. Anyway, give us a call, 503-231-8187, while I'm having all these, like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, it's only 8:30 in the morning, and I haven't had anything, and I'm having all these, like, moments of awareness. Perhaps that's because some of you have called and given such great insight. So give us a call, 503-231-8187. And we're speaking this morning, we began our conversation this morning about where do you find community? How do you build community? And some of our callers shared some of their thoughts. Janet spoke about living and moving from Lower East Side, New York, towards the West Coast, towards the mountain, to building community and finding a moral compass, and the need to speak from your heart and to be true to yourself. Excuse me. Edie reminded us of the necessity of identifying with one another, and maybe the only thing we can do in times of so much pain is to mourn together. We know as individuals, when someone is in deep grief, sometimes the best thing we can do is just sit with them. Not necessarily speak, perhaps don't speak, but to sit with someone as they mourn or in grief. And as our world or as your community is in so much sorrow, maybe it's a time of deep sorrow to mourn together and then begin to build together. And Santiago reminded us how to find community, even with those you may not even think you have this connection with, and the importance of building community. What are your thoughts? 503-231-8187. And, I think you need to call because I'm losing my voice like Janet did a few minutes ago. 503-231-8187. Okay. I'm hearing noises. Maybe it's my radio. But anyway, let's continue because maybe it's my computer. Okay, I'm so sorry. Okay, I'll turn it off. But I want to invite you to give us a call. And I also, as a matter of fact, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that we are dealing with in our community. What does it mean to... One moment. Okay. Yes. Computer, you have all these files open, and then all of a sudden I heard music. I'm so sorry. That's part of the challenge of live radio. Our number's here, 503-231-8187. We're talking about building communities and ways in which we can find communities and ways in which we can build community together. Give us a call. I also want to mention a couple of things that have been going on in our society. I've mentioned about the president's State of the Union message and some of their thoughts. But first, let's hear what Linda has to say. Good morning, Linda, and thank you so much for calling.
Good morning, Cecil. What I'd like to address this morning is that sense of community that we're looking for. I live in Salem, you know, the state capital, mm-hmm. and as we're approaching spring, it feels good to get out and look at all those cherry blossoms and everything. But sense of community. I seem to hook up with the Marion County Democrats and the Polk County Democrats because we feel that democracy is on the ballot. And so what we're doing is we're trying to recruit progressive candidates to run and fill some of these slots that are either not, you know, they're the only ones on the, there's a word for it, but it's not coming to me right now.
Yeah.
They're the only one, they're uncontested.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the contested, we happen to know some of the people that are of the Republican ilk, and their values are not our values. So we're trying to find candidates to fill those slots and then go out and campaign for them. And how we do that is we have the neighborhood leadership program. It's on in every county in the state of Oregon. And I think if people want to belong to a sense of community, there is no better time than to fight for our very democracy against fascism. So it's not fun all the time, and we don't agree all the time, and there's power trippers, and there's all that in the sense of community. But we're, if we could focus and just stay focused on the one goal of maintaining our democracy in this great country of ours and move towards the areas that we want to do where we tax the rich.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things that I don't need to list right now, we all know them.
Let me ask you, as you go out and talk to your neighbors and building community, in terms of I forgot the phrase you use in terms of saving democracy, how do you speak to those who have a different understanding of who we are as a nation and what it means to be a good citizen?
You know, that's a really good question, Cecil. There is a system, you know, what I'm referring to this morning is there's a system in place, and it's called the Neighborhood Leadership Program in all the counties, 36 counties in Oregon. Some of them are very red, some of them are very blue. The Neighborhood Leadership Program for Democrats have a list in a software program called VAN, and this is probably too much information right now, that lists only Democrats. So when we go out, and then there's precincts, and I can't even think of how many precincts there are. But it's the way we divide up the counties in the way of voting in elections. And so there's precincts, and in those precincts are TERFs. And TERFs are defined by approximately 36 houses, or, you know, homes and apartments and all of that. 35 of them in each TERF. And people sign up to take a TERF, and it can be in their neighborhood, in their county. And you go out and you knock on only Democrats' doors. So it's a safe way of connecting. But all we're asking them to do, and independents, and all we're asking them to do is just commit to voting, commit to getting their ballot in. And they may have questions. They may want to sign up and be a neighborhood leader themselves. And, you know, we only start that when the ballots come out. Right now, we're just trying to recruit neighborhood leaders and get good candidates running in some of the uncontested areas.
Yeah, I understand. And thank you for that work. I hope that we're able to expand and not only talk to people we're comfortable with, but to talk to those of the other political stripes.
But I've been doing for decades in probably five different counties, because I tended to move a lot before I'm settled now in Salem. And I have never run into anyone belligerent or mean or anything. They may hurry you along. They may talk through the screen door and be kind of, you know, we didn't do this during COVID, but after COVID, you know, people are a little careful and, you know, that sort of thing. But nobody's mean. We're all Democrats, you know.
And so we're talking to our own. And what I'm calling is I want to expand to talk beyond Democrats, to be able to talk to those who are red, and be able to have those conversations. It's, you know, and that's challenging enough just to get all people who you think agree. So all Democrats aren't the same, all Republicans aren't the same, but then to cross the aisle and speak to someone
it would be great to be able to reach across the aisle. We need to feel safe as people who walk the neighborhoods to get out the vote. So we need to feel safe, and so that we're not intending to reach across the aisle at that point in time.
Okay.
And the neighborhood leadership program is, if you knock on doors and you get people to commit, we have statistics over the decades that it does raise voter turnout.
Okay, now, well, thank you. We're running out, and we have another call behind you. But thank you so much for calling and for encouraging us to participate in our local democracy, to make democracy really
the candidates and the fundraisers that we have throughout the year. Okay. Everyone's invited.
Thank you so much, and reminding us the importance of participating. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, and let's go to Mark right now. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Cecil. We live on the shoulders of great men and women. I think that's very important to realize. I'm right now halfway through another great book titled Open Heavens by Eugen Drewermann.
Oh, gosh.
And he insists that Bethlehem is not just 15 miles south of Jerusalem, but Bethlehem is in every heart. And God is light in the darkness. So part of our challenge, I think, is to see that there is light in every person, that every person is a child of God, and we can free ourselves from the darkness and the coldness. I also read from Ivan Ilyich, another dissident Christian, who said that the people see more than scientists and administrators.
That
Mexico City in 15 years grew from 4 million to 20 million.
And
people realized, people eked out a living close to where they live instead of traveling great distances. He's a bicyclist and very critical of institutions.
I wonder if you could address one question in terms of where you are right now. Where do you find community and how do you build community?
Well, I'm actually excited about a new website titled Blue Sky, which is an alternative to Twitter. It was just opened up in February. Previously, it was by invitation only. So I hope people can participate in this digital online community.
And what type of community? Is it people of similar political affiliation?
Well, it's open to everyone.
Okay.
And so... So
it's another platform like some of these other social media platforms?
Yes, yes. Okay. It's so important to get information that is critical of the myths and assumptions of that are dominant. What else did I want to say? Dorothy Sola, another dissident Christian, said that we must be wounded to be healed.
This
which
is,
I think, is a very important insight, especially in a time and a culture that really represses failure, tragedy, and collapse.
You know, you mentioned Dorothy. One
yes.
interesting fact: she was the reader of my thesis, my master's thesis. So
Dorothy Sola.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, okay, well, we have to. Thank you so much for your thoughts and for your comments. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. This is, I have been and I will existentially remain Cecil Prescott. I'm having all these like philosophical thoughts this morning. I don't know whether it's a time change or what's going on here. Epiphanies, yeah, it's just like boom, 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 all over the place. This is great. But the greatest epiphany I'm having is when I'm hearing some of the thoughts and insights you have. So give us a call at 503-231-8187 and join us. We've been talking this morning about community. Where do you find community? How do you build community? I mentioned in passing the State of the Union speech that the president gave a few days ago, and seeking to build community within a nation of 300 plus million people of all variety of political perspectives, of ethnic origins, so many differences. How do we build community, not only within this space, your neighborhood, but also in this nation, and indeed in the world? I'd wanted to speak about a couple of other things in terms of building community. I'll just mention them right now, and perhaps we'll have more time later, if not today, later, to talk more about it. I thought building community is so important, and one thing that observation I would like to make is how I thought the Multnomah County commissioners sought to come together for a ceasefire resolution. That I think we'll have the opportunity later to think about that process. How do you build community? How do you find consensus when there are so many differences. Many of us are aware of the challenges that people face as they sought to create a resolution that all the county commissioners could agree on. Some of them, and they were able to, I think, finally come to an agreement for a resolution. And part of the challenge was, how do you find consensus so that you're able to have a unanimous resolution? That was something that they tried and they sought for, and they was able to come to a resolution so that all five commissioners were able to agree on the resolution. It's a rather short resolution, but I'll read it for you so that you might be able to reflect. Calling for an immediate de-escalation and ceasefire in Palestine and Israel, the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners finds, 1, social justice is a core value of our board. Leaning into that value, we strive for peaceful conflict resolutions that mitigate the impact of those conflicts on our communities. 2, all human life is precious, and the targeting of civilian, no matter their faith or ethnicity, is a violation of international humanitarian law. 3, hundreds of thousands of lives are at imminent risk if a ceasefire is not achieved and humanitarian aid is not delivered without delay. 4, the United States, as a long-standing ally and supportive of Israel, has the ability to influence the action of Israel's government. The Multnomah County Board of Commissioners resolves, 1, keeping with Multnomah County values, we call on an immediate ceasefire, return of hostages, safe passage, and the free access of humanitarian organizations to provide medical aid, food, water, clothing, fuel, power, and shelter to Gazan civilians. 2, on passage, this resolution will be sent to our U.S. Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley, our U.S. Representatives Earl Blumenauer, Susan Bonamici, Lori Chavez de Remer, and President Joe Biden, adopted this 7th day of March 2024. And that was the resolution that was adopted by the Board of Commissioners of the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners. Now, that half-page resolution took a month of careful conversations, going back and forth before the county commissioners and their staffs, and certainly, as one commissioner mentioned, you know, he said this would not have been the resolution he would have offered, but it was the resolution that they all could agree. And I think that is insightful for all of us as we talk about how do we build community, because we come from different points and different perspectives. And what is so important is for us to find ways in which we can build community. And as our callers shared today, there are different ways to do it. One caller who's an activist in a political party, and she mentioned how they have programs in which they go into their neighborhoods and speak to their neighbors, finding beginning with neighbors that they will find they think they have common ground with, and expanding that. sometimes speaking with our neighbors is difficult. Speaking to those who live next door to us is difficult. And what I observe from looking at the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners as they wrestle with coming up with a ceasefire resolution is how important it is to be able to stop and to be able to listen. Not to speak, but to listen. And it is so difficult, especially when we know that the issues are so important and so critical. But it is important for us to be able to stop, to pause, to listen, and then to seek common ground. So, you know, the common ground may begin something very fundamental and may be very simple. Can we all agree just to talk for 1 hour? To stay in the room for 1 hour? To listen to one another for 1 hour? To speak and not be interrupted, and to have our perspective heard. It is so difficult and so challenging, but yet it is so important for all of us. So as the Multnomah County Commissioners got together and in meetings, and wouldn't you, well, maybe you would not have liked to be a fly on the wall on some of those meetings. But certainly we all know from our family lives, from our work life, from work, from living, how difficult it is to find common ground. But the Multnomah County ceasefire resolution, after a month, came together, and they were able to pass unanimously a vote. The resolution will be signed, was signed by the chair, Jessica Vega Peterson, and the county attorney, was sent to the U.S. Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley, U.S. Representatives Earl Blumenau, Suzanne Bonamici, Lori Chavez de Ramirez, and President Joe Biden. Interesting, of those representatives, only two, U.S. Senator Merkley and U.S. Representative Bonamici, are the only two Oregon elected officials to call for a ceasefire. So there's more work to be done. But it is work that is so important. And so I want to remind all of us, as we become weary from doing this important work, we must continue to do it. Your work is so important. And the things you do are so important to create a better world for ourselves, for our neighbors, for our families, and for the next generations. Work yet to be done. Before I leave, on a lighter note, on things that make you want to go, I know we are moving to a cashless society, but I happened to look at a penny the other day. Now, may have to search and find a penny, but find a penny, you know, those little copper things. And I just noticed on the back of the penny, when did they move the Lincoln Memorial? It is no longer there. It hasn't been there, apparently, for 10 years. The Lincoln Memorial is no longer on the back of the penny. Wow, what happened? Well, in 2009, they replaced it with the Union Shield. More on that later. What is the Union Shield? And why did they take it off of the, why did they take the the Lincoln Memorial off with the back of a penny. I'm not sure whether I should start a movement or not. But I will do some research, and we will come back next week, or maybe not. But go and find a penny and look at the back of it and see and observe, why did they make those changes? This is Cecil Prescott. Thank you for listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Stay tuned for more programming here on your community radio station. Take care.
Listening to KBOO Portland. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio, and we're nearing the end of our All Thrills, No Frills special program.